Leading off with a big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
Are we getting clues that the Denver Broncos are about to shake up the NFL draft? Serious question. Sean Payton calling it realistic to move up. How much do you believe that? That's up to you. But there is real interest in J.J. McCarthy, as it seems. Here's Sean Payton from earlier today.
For some of these guys, we'll have an individual day separate. You know, I wasn't at J.J.'s pro day, but we had a private the next day where we sent him a bunch of information, spent 4 or 5 hours with him, just and made him throw all over again. You know, and I think it's all part of the process, and I think it can help lead to at least a more efficient and effective decision.
Phil, I know this is the season of lies and smoke screens, but when I hear a job interview went 4 or 5 hours long, just naturally, just in life, I say, oh my gosh, there's real interest from both parties, and in this case, the Broncos and JJ.
Oh yeah, you know they're flirting with, JJ, see what he's really about. You know, I think Sean does truly like JJ. Now, is that his number one go-to? We don't know, because he knows, Sean knows, we all know he's going to have to move up high to get him. You have the Minnesota Vikings that are showing their hand, and they are going to move up at some point.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Yeah, and I think that everybody's trying to battle for that number four spot. And so the Arizona Cardinals, and I think Sean even mentioned it, that GM and the coach staff, like, they should be in love and happy as heck, because they're going to get a lot of people coming their way asking, what is it going to take to move up to that number four spot? The question for us is, does Sean have enough capital, whether it's draft picks or players, to be able to move up to the number four spot if J.J. McCarthy is the person for them?
Yeah, and it's like, do you have enough to move up in a bidding war? Because that's what I think ultimately this is going to be, and that's why I believe Minnesota hasn't traded up yet. That's like, you know, if you're the Cardinals, and Sean said, hey, it's a good day to be Monty. And that's the GM there, Monty Ozenfort, I believe he says his last name. But it's like, hey, it's a good day to be Monty. If you're Monty and you're picking up the phone call from the Vikings, say it's last week. It's like, wow, that's a great offer. We really appreciate it. We're going to think about it, and we'll get back to you. There's no reason to do the deal right now. You might as well field all of the offers. And I don't believe the Broncos have made an offer, because they're still in the, like, exploratory process. And maybe the Vikings haven't either. I don't know. But that's a good question of, like, are we ready? Are the Broncos ready for a potential bidding war for the fourth overall pick?
Well, see, and this is where it kind of gets scary, Zach, because it's going to come down to the draft. Nothing's going to happen until the draft. And it may happen 2 to 3 minutes before the draft pick has to go in.
Yeah.
And so now it's like trying to get everything in order to give everything you got. You said you're in a bidding war. They should have you out there auctioning it off. First round, second round, third round. You got a little experience with it.
Dip my toe in the benefit auctioneer space, for sure.
What can you say? But they have to have everything in order to throw the kitchen sink, the house, and maybe their grandma in there so that they can get that number four spot. Because that's what it's going to take if J.J. McCarthy is on the radar. My question is there somebody else that they're loving, that they're okay with J.J. McCarthy going number two, number three?
Yes.
Are they baiting everybody into taking J.J. McCarthy? I know that Jim Harbaugh's trying his hardest.
Yeah.
Trying his hardest to get J.J. McCarthy the number one, number two, number three quarterback off the board.
He says it was the greatest pro day of all time.
Yeah,
do you see him saying that?
I have so many issues with pro days, Zach. Truly. Like, how can you sit here and say someone has a great pro day when they're just throwing the ball?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And we've seen that multiple times, the quarterbacks not pan out. So for people, it's like, calm down.
Yeah.
Now, he has a great body of work on the field. Film never lies.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see what Sean Payton's willing to do.
See, but you're asking such a critical question about what Like, we're just all under the assumption right now, and there's still a month till the draft starts. We're just assuming that J.J. McCarthy is going to go number four. It just takes one of these teams in the top three, more than likely picking second or third, to say, no, we actually like J.J. McCarthy more than Drake May. Mm. We actually like J.J. McCarthy more than Jaden Daniels. And if that's taking place, you have to actually love more than one quarterback. And this goes back to if the Broncos are going to move up.
Yeah.
And this is like an age-old argument of like when you move up, like or just in general, can you love more than one quarterback? And I think you can. And if you're moving up to four ahead of the draft, you better be prepared to fall in love with more than one quarterback if you haven't already, because there's no assurances picking at four that the guy you want is going to be there.
But can you truly love more than one quarterback, Zach? Like, truly, right? You can have feelings for that quarterback, or if you have, you know, two lady friends, you might like one, you might like both, but you like one better, right? Because of what they have to offer, right? So J.J. McCarthy might be the number one they love, obviously, right? What, why can you, like, for you, it's like, why can you love another person as much as J.J. McCarthy? You can't. I don't think you can. I don't think you can love two quarterbacks.
I think you, I actually disagree. I think you can love two, but one, you're going to love just a little bit more.
So then, love is a strong word.
I know.
Only supposed to, like, yeah, you can love multiple people throughout your life. But you're talking about two in the same draft and saying, I love both of them.
Yeah. Dude, I believe, and this is just me, I believe that when Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers moved up in the draft to number three, they were not sure when they made the trade whether they were going to pick Mac Jones or Trey Lance. That's what I believe.
Okay.
And I feel that, and I said that at the time, and Stokely at the time said, there's no way. If they're moving up, they're moving up for one person.
Yeah.
And I think that makes sense. But I also think that there was real discourse in that building. And by the way, did you guys hear Chris Sims in the last month went on the air and said that, and I'm paraphrasing totally, that Kyle Shanahan wanted Mac Jones. And Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan, they have like their names tattooed on one another from college. So when like he says, this is what I think Kyle Shanahan felt, I think that's based off knowing something from Kyle. Anyway, I'm saying that because that's just a recent example.
Yeah.
But have you ever watched The Bachelor?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, do you still watch it?
Yeah, I haven't this year or this season.
Okay.
But I'm going to get back to it.
I used to watch it for years with my wife. And I haven't watched it in probably 3 or 4 years for specific reasons I won't get into here on the air. But I remember they would get to the end. And it's like, there's people who say, oh, that stuff's all scripted. I don't know. I used to see the look on these women's faces or these men's faces when they're the one that has to choose and they get to the end. And you think it's fun signing up for that process, but then you actually live it. And it's like, yo, I have legitimate feelings for both of these women. But
you end up choosing one.
And then sometimes they choose one and they're like, oh my God, I made a massive mistake. And they're doing like, you know, footage of him going back and I just think
you can't do this in this situation.
Well, here's the thing. It is kind of like The Bachelor because you're getting to know who these quarterbacks are on film first.
Yeah.
And then you're actually getting to know them personally and you're sitting down for 4 or 5 hours with them. Dude, I haven't had a 4-hour date with my wife in 15 years. And I just think that you can get caught up into thinking like, especially if you're Sean Payton, I could make Drake May work. I could. We could have success. I could make JJ. I could see it. I could close my eyes and see us together. He could get that final rose. And I think it's possible.
But making something work and loving somebody enough, like, you know what?
I phrased that wrong.
I can't live without JJ McCarthy.
Right.
I can't live without Drake May.
Yeah.
But you can't sit here and say, I can't live without both of them. Right? Because you can only pick one.
Right. Right.
And that's where, for me, it's like, Sean loves one quarterback, but he's willing to make one other one work. And I'm trying to figure out who that other one is. We're trying to figure out who that other one is, because if J.J. McCarthy is somebody that Sean loves, best believe there's somebody else in the NFL that loves J.J. McCarthy.
Totally.
And may be willing to give up a little bit more.
Or not give up anything and just pick where they're picking. Yeah, or, if you're the Commanders or the Patriots.
You're right.
It's like some of these teams don't have to do anything. They'll just say, you want to know, we do love him the most. And that's why it's so tricky. If like, if you move up, you're moving up to four, not two. And it's like, if you do only love one quarterback, there's risk involved with moving up to four because you don't know what the Patriots are going to do. You don't know for sure what the Commanders are going to do. So
if he loves J.J. McCarthy, then he needs to figure out who else is out there that he likes, because the love's not going to go nowhere. The love's going to stay there. But if J.J. McCarthy's not there, what are we going to do, Zach? If we moved up and still don't get J.J. McCarthy, then what?
But what, and my thing is, if you move up and he's not there, you can't pick a positional player. You, because it's going to cost you big time to move up, and you only pay that premium for a quarterback. And man, it's just there's risk involved if you do. There's risk involved if you don't. And this whole thing is fascinating. Here is Sean Payton from earlier today talking about the Broncos moving up in the draft.
I think that's realistic. I think it's realistic. I know your report suggested otherwise, but it's realistic.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, no, it did. I would. I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is like what's on the receiving end. You know, I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona, right? So it's hard to predict what that cost is, and yet. I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic.
So it's hard to predict what the cost is. It's realistic to move up.
Yeah.
It's good to meet Monty. That's the GM of the Cardinals. Phil, it's going to cost a lot. It's going to cost a lot.
He was sassy, too, at Ian Rappaport.
Was that Ian Rappaport?
Yeah, that was Ian Rappaport.
Oh, okay.
He was a little feisty with him.
That's what I was wondering. Like, who's he talking to
there?
Yeah,
he was a little feisty with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's realistic. But what is it going to cost him? What are we willing to give up?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Was he saying that to Ian Rappaport because of Rappaport's report over the weekend talking about Stidham? Or I guess that was Friday when we were on the air. We wanted to get to it. We just got lost in the shuffle. Yeah, I about fell over when I heard Ian Rappaport go on television and say this.
Sean Payton is one with a lot of quarterbacks who are not as good as Jared Stidham. You know, I do think they'll add a quarterback, but I don't know that the urgency is there because he's so good. Then I think they say, you know what? We can take some raw materials and he will get that person to perform.
He is talking about Jared Stidham,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No disrespect to Jared Stidham. But it's like, yeah, they may not, because Jared's so good.
I think that's what Sean's trying to get at too. It's like, yo, why are you putting stuff in my own mouth? Like, I don't even think Jared Stidham's that good.
See, I flipped it in my head. When I heard that, I'm like, oh, gosh, Sean Payton is doing this hard sell that they're not going to draft a quarterback. And he's sharing it with national media members how much in love with he is with Jared Stidham. Therefore, to, like, throw off scent of maybe moving up in the draft or whatever and loving one of these quarterbacks. But then that was
a little weird.
Yeah. I mean, considering what I had in my head, I thought Sean Payton told Ian Rappaport how much he loved Jared Stidham. But Ian Rappaport, I guess, came up with that through other sources, I guess.
Yeah, maybe he came up with it with George Payton.
Maybe. Maybe. By the way, like George Payton, it doesn't sound like George Payton was thrilled with Sean that Sean let it slip that they had a 4 or 5 hour meeting with J.J. McCarthy. And he kind of said it in a joking way. He's like, yeah, I'm glad Sean told everyone that. And it's like kind of hee hee ha ha. But
yeah,
but there is some like validity to it. Like if you're a general manager in the traditional hierarchy where that guy's actually the coach's boss, it's like, dude, what are you doing telling like how long our meeting's been with this quarterback?
That would have never flied. That would have never flied if George was in control. But guess what? George is not the GM.
I know.
George is just there to get some popcorn, maybe a soda, and just enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I don't know if he's enjoying it at all. Feels like a ride he can't get off of. It's just broken, just the same roller coaster.
Help me.
I actually want to talk about George in a more dedicated fashion here in just a little bit. But this idea that came out from Rappaport that Sean's just so high on Stidham, you know, Sean talked about Jarrett Stidham and competing for a starting role.
He's definitely competing to be the starter. I don't think we have a term driver's seat really, but he is going to compete for that position. I know he's anxious and excited to do that. And I'm sure there'll be other candidates that will be competing with him.
Other candidates that will be competing with him. Mm. Here's a little bit more from Sean Payton on Jarrett Stidham when asked if the last two games of the season changed his thoughts on Jarrett Stidham.
It's kind of exactly where we saw it a year ago. We felt like this is a player who can compete. We felt like he's got upside, a young player that's really played a limited amount of snaps relative to the years he's been in the league. Did anything change in those last two games leading to this season? I can't say, in fairness to him or the process, definitively that anything did, other than we still feel real positive about this player, and we're anxious to see him when he's getting a lot more snaps and work with the ones. It's difficult, especially.
So it's interesting. Like, I'm curious to see what he looks like when he's, you know, getting a lot more snaps with the ones. But if you draft a rookie quarterback in the first round, I would think that guy is going to get the majority of the snaps, unless it's just like purely planned in advance. Like, you know, our young quarterback, it's going to be a year of sitting.
Well, how does this, you know, when Sean Payton's talking about Stidham, how do you think he sounds about it? Because he kind of said like, I'm pretty much not basing it off the two games.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's like the reason why you benched Russell is because you wanted a spark. So what was your take from Sparky being in there for those two games? And obviously he didn't get enough. That's what Sean's kind of getting at.
Yeah. And it almost feels like when he's referencing like, hey, I want to know what it looks like when he's getting, because he was in a reserve role or a backup role. And maybe could be kind of like subconsciously maybe like making an excuse for why he didn't play better because he didn't get all those reps that Russ did get. But again, if you draft a rookie quarterback, I think the priority, if you draft a rookie quarterback in the first round, whether he starts the season on the field or not, you know, I think that might be a separate conversation, but like if I were to have my way, if you draft a quarterback at 12, or certainly if you move up, and I don't know if it changes at all, if you draft him at 12, if you move up, but it's like, get that kid ready to play. This is so important for the franchise. He needs the lion's share of reps with the ones. You want to have him sit for the first 4 to 6 games? Fine. But what I don't want to see is you draft a quarterback in the first round and Jarrett freaking Stidham is getting the lion's share of the reps in order to win their first game of the season or to start good or whatever. I think the developing a young quarterback, if you do draft him in the first round, takes the importance over everything else.
Well, organically, Stidham's going to get a lot of the reps to start the camp off. Like, that's just how it usually goes in NFL camp. No matter who you are, Zach, they're going to put that young rookie behind the veteran, right? Now, they're upstairs talking about who's going to start and who's not, but they don't want to kind of make any kind of conflict out of things. Jarrett Stidham, it sounds like, is going to be able to compete with a rookie because that's what it's looking like. So they're going to be able to have a standoff. And if Jarrett Stidham wins it out, he'll start the season off. But if that rookie is looking better than Jarrett Stidham, I don't think Sean's going to hesitate to start that rookie right away.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's there's different layers of fascination. Like, if they do draft a quarterback, then what? How do you operate? And, you know, we'll see if we get to that point. This is real. This is real. I think it's all real. I think the Broncos are, you know, I heard from Jeff Duncan down there in New Orleans, who covered Sean very closely. And we got to know here a little bit because he wrote some articles on Sean when he got here to Denver. And Jeff Duncan tweeted, he said, if Sean Payton falls in love with a quarterback, he will go get him or die trying. Trust that, end quote. And it's one of these things. I wonder if he's got Mahomes in the back of his head. Like, I wanted that guy. And maybe I didn't do everything I could possibly do. And Andy Reid jumped me, and that's like stuck in his craw, and he's just not going to let it happen again.
Well, if that's the case, then he's willing to give up anything and everything.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the question yet again.
Yeah.
What is he going to give up to get that pick, to get J.J. McCarthy, if that's the man for the job?
Yeah. Don't know. And you know, separate conversation, but under the same umbrella, how much is Pat Surtain involved in his thought process? When he's like, you want to know what? I don't want to trade 3 first-round picks. Maybe I'll trade 2 when PS2. Or if and maybe that's too rich. Maybe it's a first, second, and a third with PS2. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here to get to.
I don't know how well Broncos country is going to like that. They might be having, you know, sharpening their pitchforks for you right now for even saying that.
Well, you know.
How dare you say that, Zach?
I'm sure there's some fans out there who, in their head, PS2 is untouchable. And I'm never going to tell a fan how to be a fan. That's
nobody
how you think.
Nobody is untouchable. It doesn't matter who you are. Think about it. Clinton Portis, right, has some phenomenal years. And they still traded Clinton Portis for Champ Bailey. So nobody's untouchable.
Yeah.
It all comes down to what you want, what you need, and we all have to remember Sean did not draft PS2.
He didn't.
So Sean inherited
That matters.
Patrick Surtain.
That
it matters a lot.
Yep. And you say that name Clinton Portis, and someone who might not know might like, why would you say Clinton? Yeah. Clinton Portis walked in the NFL and was 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns.
Yes.
What was the follow-up act? Almost 1,600 yards and 14 touchdowns. I mean, and they did what was unthinkable at the time. And you end up with Champ Bailey and the rest is history.
Yep.
But these are fascinating, fascinating conversations and getting new clues coming out from the owners meeting. And we have Andrew Mason is there. Cecil Lammy is there, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with them here during the week. But absolutely fascinating period of time for Sean Payton, for the Denver Broncos, and their look for a quarterback that is somehow still ongoing. Okay, Phil, a chapter closed over the weekend on a really good Colorado sports story, while another is still being written. That's coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it!
One!
All right, a chapter closed over the weekend of a really good Colorado sports story. Now, it's not some all-timer, but it was a good freaking story, and that was the CU men's basketball program, who at one point seemed down and out. They had lost 4 of 5, then they had this dramatic come from behind, down 16 in the second half, double overtime win, and then don't proceed to lose until the Pac-12 title game. And forgive me, dude, you hear me, I have the hiccups, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you let an old man beat you up.
I feel like a complete clown. I'm doing a radio show, and I can't get rid of the hiccups. In fact, I do want to invite our listeners, if you have tips, I'm gonna stick a knife in my throat here. If you have tips on how to get rid of the hiccups, hit me up on the ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. I'm so sorry. I'm a clown. I'm doing a radio show and I have the hiccups. Sorry.
You're going to have to let everybody know why, though.
I did because I'm slowly starting to play basketball a little bit. And I played someone one-on-one for the first time in forever in like a real game. He's real competition.
Yeah.
And I caught so out of shape that like my chest, it feels like there's like pockets of air that I can't get out of my chest. If anyone knows what the hell I'm talking about, please hit up the ramoslaw.com text line. And if you don't, then join the club because I barely know what I'm talking about here.
Let them know you got beat by a 6-year-old.
No, he was about my age and the dude was awesome. I mean, and I just couldn't move. I mean, Phil, I couldn't move. It was a big wake up call. I haven't played like that in years. But okay. CU men's basketball.
Yeah.
NCAA tournament. They win a first 4 game. They upset Florida. What kind of season was it for CU? Because I feel like folks are disagreeing on this.
Yeah, look, overall, it was a phenomenal season. All right, they got things turned back around. We had a run at it. We could have beat Marquette yesterday. We had opportunities, okay? And honestly, Zach, Colorado looks like and looked like an Elite Eight kind of basketball team, especially a Sweet 16. But we just couldn't get the job done. But it was underwhelming because we were supposed to be dominant at the beginning of the season. We were not. All right, Cody Williams was underwhelming, right? He's a young kid, so I don't want to bash on him too much. He's young. He's 19 years old.
Right.
But as a team, collectively, they weren't good enough at the beginning of the season. They started picking pieces up. They made a great run when they got to the tournament. They were exciting, fast-paced, and they had an opportunity to beat Marquette. They did not, and that sucks.
Yeah, that's a pretty good breakdown, Phil. I mean, I understand why people are arguing about it. I actually want to have a more dedicated conversation about this outside of the three count, but it does feel like there's almost like this Colorado won a real tournament game. Like good for Tag, good for the program. That like the standards are just lower. And what do these other schools have? Like what does Northwestern basketball have that Colorado doesn't? Like I you know what I mean? Like James Madison.
Yeah.
What is Grand Canyon? I see them in the tournament almost every single year. Like what do they have? And why do we treat Colorado basketball like it's such a
delicate?
Yes.
You know,
yes,
like a delicate. Yes. Like, it's okay. Good job.
Like patronizing them. Like they went into Tad won a tournament game. Like it's like dude, they're a Pac-12 team. They're about to go to the best basketball conference in the world.
I think respect, Zach. I think it's the respect from Tad Boyle and what he's brought to the Buffs, and that he's been here for a very long time. And I think that people see that. Now, if you're in the Big 12, you know, that's a different animal.
Dude, that is big boy basketball. And I just, you know what? Let's save this conversation about Tad, because I do want to have it in more dedicated fashion here. On the CU women, shout out J.R. Payne. They are back in the Sweet 16, and they will play the winner of Iowa and West Virginia. That game is on ESPN tonight at like 6 o'clock. I'm going to watch this game. But you know, before the Denver Nuggets game start, and I'm fascinated by it. Congrats to your Lady Buffs.
Yeah, I'm excited. Coach J.R. Payne has done a phenomenal job with those women. Them women, they're rolling. Actually, the star point guard decided to take herself out because she wasn't doing well, and the backup was doing better than her. Went to Coach J.R. Payne and was like, "Put her in because she's doing better than me at this time." That's what a captain does, and it helped them win that game.
We saw this on the Denver Nuggets side a week and a half ago when Jamal said, let Reggie finish. He's cooking right now. And when you have a good culture like that J.R. Payne does, doesn't shock me. If Iowa wins tonight, this is a rematch of the Sweet 16 from last year. Man, if this were like, if I had to pay like $9.99 for pay-per-view, I would pay it to watch that game. And we're assuming Iowa wins tonight, KJ, against West Virginia?
They will. I've been hearing all this smoke here lately about West Virginia being an underrated team in the tournament. I don't want to hear any of that. It's Caitlin Clark, the phenomenal show she is. She's going to put up 40 and a triple-double and going to send Western Virginia back to West Virginia. Okay.
All right.
Just to get stopped by the Buffs, huh?
You know what? There'll be time to talk about that game. Yeah. That will be a big basketball game if that comes to fruition.
1, 2.
All right, Nuggets win on Friday versus the Portland Trailblazers, 114-111. No Jamal, no Jokic. Portland started 5 rookies, which almost feels impossible.
Yeah.
It's unusual if you have 5 rookies on your game day roster. Give me a takeaway. You could go anywhere with it.
Yeah, first off, Portland was down bad. You got 5 rookies. You're just out there hoping that something, you know, works for you. But overall, I like what Aaron Gordon did. MPJ, underwhelming. But it's okay. He's been riding high. You know, I know you guys don't, you know, you got something against my boy MPJ. I've been on his side all day.
Dude, how the shoe is on the other foot now. Your boy, you guys. Holy smokes. I just try to stay somewhere in the middle where realistic meets rational.
Yeah.
That was a little bit disappointing because it was another one of these games. And yes, of course, he's been playing great, which is why this is a topic here. It's another one of these games with no Jokic, no Jamal, a guy who sees himself as a star. How do you go out and play against a team that's starting 5 rookies? And I'd be lying if I wasn't kind of shaking my head at halftime when he had 0 points.
Yeah, he got his first basket in the third quarter.
Yeah,
I was shaking my head too. But Reggie Jackson came to play. He had some really good minutes, great minutes, 23 points. Christian Brown, another one.
He was great. That was my favorite part about that game.
You love you some Christian Brown though.
He's been playing much better, and his you know what I asked him like 2 months ago, and we were doing it on the air. I'm like, just get back to basics. Keep the main thing the main thing. What has you on an NBA floor is because you are an irritant defender.
Yeah.
You are a really good athlete in transition. You're a good rebounder. You're an active help defender. I mean, but he was like trying to like explore his game during the season, which I appreciate. You're trying to get better. But there was a time for that, and it's not now. And he's gotten back to basics. So for that kid to come off the bench and play 36 minutes off the bench, that's unusual. But 17 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists.
He was all over the
place. 3 steals and a block. It's one of the best games I've ever seen him play.
So what would you tell Peyton Watson right now? Because after the press conference of kind of Malone was kind of saying, hey, Reggie Jackson's going to play a little bit in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Christian Brown is. But no Peyton Watson.
Dude, and he's thinking about Peyton Watson as he's saying that. And he's probably hoping and will make sure that that quote gets back to Peyton Watson. Because Peyton hasn't, he's kind of come back down to earth a little bit. And I think it's just like a classic Michael Malone warning shot of like, oh, you think you're promised this? No, you're not. Like, refocus yourself. And Peyton Watson actually could probably benefit from the same advice we gave Christian Brown.
Yeah.
2 months ago. It's like, simplify it. Narrow your focus. Keep the main thing the main thing.
Play great defense. Get rebounds. Put up a couple shots when they're open.
Yep.
Play smart. Play smart basketball, and you'll find your way in the playoffs.
Yep. All right. We'll keep it moving here.
1, 2, 3!
The hip drop tackle is officially banned in the NFL as of this morning. Mm. We talked about this last week. You expected this to happen?
Yeah. I think at this point, Zach, people are trying to stay healthy. All right, players are trying to stay healthy. Coaches want their players, their star players, to stay healthy. Now, I know the defensive side of it is upset right now, and I understand because there's a lot going against the defensive players at this point.
It is, yeah.
What are they supposed to do anymore?
Yeah.
Put some flags there because you're not going to, at some point, we're not going to be playing tackle football anymore. Like, these players are so big, Zach. Think about Saquon Barkley. Now you can't take him down like that.
Right.
You're just supposed to let him run you over?
Right.
I don't know, man. It's kind of getting bizarre.
And you can't hit him in the head.
Nope.
Right? So you got to find creative ways to, I don't know what you do if you're trailing someone like Saquon Barkley, like physically trailing him from behind.
You can't hit a defenseless player, even if the quarterback makes a mistake, throws you into an offender. You're supposed to make sure he's okay. The offensive player's okay before yourself. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's going to be an adjustment. There's no doubt about it. It sounds like fines might be the way that they go initially to try to get this out of the game instead of just tossing guys out. So we'll see what it looks like on game day this fall. All right, what did Broncos general manager George Payton say about his trade for Russell Wilson after looking back at it? We'll play it and react to it coming up next. Is your bracket busted? No worries. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game on Thursday, March 28th. Best of luck on your second chance there. Phil, I am legitimately blown away with how much response on the RamosLaw.com text line I got for a remedy of getting rid of hiccups.
You sound better right now. You doing all right?
I'm doing all right. That's because during the break, I drank a glass of water that had a fork in it.
Yeah.
And you put the prongs of the fork right in the middle of your forehead and drink it. And I think it holds your head and neck at a certain angle to get the, I have no idea. So far, so good. But the amount of legitimate remedies offered by the RamosLaw.com text, it's staggering. It's unbelievable. Do you have a remedy?
No, I'm good, man. But for you, they care about you, Zach. They want to hear that beautiful voice of yours.
I think they're just tired of the guy on the radio having the hiccups. I mean, like, again, and I want to get into George Payton's response here in just a second, talking about the Russell Wilson trade. But, like, from drink water through a straw while plugging both ears, drink and swallow 3 to 4 times, stupid, but it works, that's from Paul. Someone else says, and I got this a couple different times.
Yeah.
Drink a cup of water through a paper towel. Hold the paper towel over the top of the cup. Suck the water through the paper towel until you drink the entire glass. Works about 90% of the time. That's what my wife does.
How do they come up with this stuff, though? Like, literally, just one day, we're just going to sit there and find ways to get rid of the hiccups.
I just think they're like old wives' tales, you know? It's like through human exploration. Like,
well, I told Jesse you should put a butcher's knife in the water, put it to your head, drink it, see how that goes. You'll get rid of the hiccups.
It's like I do like wonder though, like how did we figure out some mushrooms are healthy for us and others make you trip balls?
That's what I'm saying.
Like at some point in time, people were like, let's try this. It's like, and they saw God. It's like, stay away from those.
Those are off limits. Those are mine.
Someone says, drink water from the opposite side of the glass. Okay.
Hold up. You said drink the water from the opposite side of the glass?
Yep, and a couple people said that. It's like, you have a cup close to your mouth, and instead of doing the side of the cup that's closest to your mouth, you dip your head around the cup and drink it. Reverse, like, so you're like, you end up with your forehead pointing towards the ground as you try to.
Oh, yeah, yours is some freaky stuff. That listener's is some freaky stuff.
There was multiple people suggesting it. I don't know.
I hope the people are like watching online right now, watching Zach do this.
Exactly. I'm kind of uncomfortable. It's like, demonstrate.
Hey, Zach, they got another one for you. Plug your ears and your nose at the same time and drink water.
Hey, the next person that's able to plug their nose and ears at the same time is going to be the first person. Tell me how that works. How you plug both your ears and your nose at the same time.
Plug your nose, your ears, and then hold your breath and see how that goes.
It's like you need a participant to help you do one of those things, and I don't feel comfortable with anyone else doing that with me here today.
I'll help you out. I'll get you a wet willy.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Here is George Payton, still the Broncos general manager, from the owner meetings, talking about the acquisition of Russell Wilson and the aftermath.
We took a shot on a quarterback who had had a lot of success in this league. I don't know, 9 Pro Bowls, won the most games first 10 years in the league, and it wasn't just Russ. I mean, there's a lot of contributing factors to why we didn't win, but you know, at the end of the day, we didn't play good enough offense, we didn't win enough games. I'm accountable for that, and so I'll just leave it at that. You know, Russ, no one tried harder than Russ to make this work. I appreciate the effort, the professionalism he showed. Man, total pro. Wish him the best in Pittsburgh. He's going to a good team, and just wish him the best.
What do you think?
He's saying all the right things. You know, it was his guy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sean George, you know, went on a limb to get someone like Russell Wilson. And to be fair, and you said it before, Zach, like, he needed to reach for the sky, the stars. That's what George was trying to do. He was shooting for the stars. He got someone like Russell Wilson, you know, to come to Denver. Everybody was ecstatic. Everybody was loving it. Everybody thought we were going to have 2 or 3 more feel the chills of the trophy.
Mm.
It just didn't happen, and now everybody's mad at George. I'm mad at George because consequences. You went out there, you did your job by trying to do that.
Yep.
But it didn't work out. But yet, you still have a job, and other players usually don't have a job.
Yeah, and it's the contract.
Yeah.
See, he's talking about acquiring Russ.
Mm.
Almost every general manager at the time would have acquired Russ given the opportunity. It's the contract that became really problematic for this organization that, of course, got done with 2 years left on the old deal when that clearly wasn't the precedent and is not the precedent in professional sports. And he did say, you know, we're accountable. I'm accountable. Okay. I don't expect George to say anything.
How'd you take it? Well, when he said that, did you feel like, okay, like he's taking accountability, or do you just say like he's just saying it because it's the right thing to say?
That's tough to judge because I don't know his heart, but I don't know what he can say that would make me feel better about this situation. Words are so small compared to the actions, and the actions are already done. So it's like you're trying to stitch this wound. You know, I don't know. You can't stitch it with your words. The wound is the wound, you know, and it's going to be a scar for the organization that they're going to have to get through over the next 2 years and maybe longer. I don't know what the ripple effect, how long that we're going to feel it. But he also said, you know, no one tried to make this work more than Russ.
Mm.
And I wonder if he feels the same about Sean making it work with Russ. What George Payton's opinion, I guess I don't care too much about George Payton's opinion on this because he's so directly involved, but if I were to have him take a, like a double shot of truth serum. I am just curious what he thinks about Sean Payton and how hard Sean worked with his quarterback, his meaning George's, that he traded for and paid. What his answer to that question would be.
Easy. Sean didn't work hard enough. Sean didn't care. Sean had it in his head that he was not, Russell Wilson was not the quarterback for him. Okay, he was not going to do George any favors because he was already upset for George giving Russell that contract and put him in a situation that now they're kind of screwed right now, right? Yep. They had to give up people like Justin Simmons.
I know, yeah.
Because of this reason.
Yep.
And it's because of what George did. Consequences. I don't think Sean tried his hardest. I don't think Sean cared because in deep down in Sean's head, you said before, there was probably an agreement upstairs to saying, hey, if I cannot work with Russ, do I have the go-ahead to get rid of Russ?
Yeah.
They said yes, and that's what he had on his mind after that.
Well, is George Payton the general manager of the Denver Broncos when the 2024 season kicks off? I want to hear your response on that a little bit later because we will circle back to it. But in the meantime, out with the old and in with the new. The Broncos are getting new uniforms this season. And we have some clues on what to expect. Details next.